In the age of Truman, Eisenhower, and Joe McCarthy, we freed America. For 10 years after World War II, Dean and I were not only the most successful show business act in history, we were history. You have to remember, post-war America was a very buttoned-up nation. Radio shows were run by censors, presidents wore hats, ladies wore girdles. We came straight out of the blue. Nobody was expecting anything like Martin and Lewis. A sexy guy and a monkey is how some people saw us, but what we really were, in an age of Freudian self-realization, was the explosion of the show business id. Like Burns and Allen, Abbott and Costello, and Hope and Crosby, we were vaudevillians, stage performers who worked with an audience. But the difference between us and all the others is significant. They worked with a script. We exploded without one. The same way wise guy kids do on a playground, or jazz musicians do when they're let loose. And the minute we started out in nightclubs, audiences went nuts for us. As Alan King told an interviewer a few years ago, "I have been in the business for 55 years, and I have never to this day seen an act get more laughs than Martin and Lewis. They didn't get laughs. It was pandemonium. People knocked over tables." Like so many entertainment explosions, we happened almost by accident. It was a crisp March day in Midtown Manhattan, March of 1945. I had just turned 19 and I was going to live forever. I could feel the bounce in my legs, the air in my lungs. World War II was rapidly drawing to a close, and New York was alive with excitement. Broadway was full of city smells, bus and taxi exhaust, roast peanuts and dirty water hot dogs, and most thrilling of all, the perfumes of beautiful women. Midtown was swarming with gorgeous gals, secretaries, career girls, society broads with little pooches. They all paraded past, tick-tock, tick-tock, setting my heart racing every 10 paces. I was a very young newlywed with a very pregnant wife back in Newark, but I had eyes, and I looked, and looked, and looked. I was strolling south with my pal Sonny King, heading toward an appointment with an agent in Times Square. Sonny was an ex-prize fighter from Brooklyn trying to make it as a singer. A knock-around guy, street smart, and quick with the joke. Kind of like an early Tony Danza. He prided himself on his nice tenor voice and on knowing everybody who was anybody in show business. Not that his pride always matched up with reality, but that was Sonny, a bit of an operator. And me? I was a Jersey kid trying to make it as a comic. My act, are you ready for this, was as follows. I would get up on stage and make funny faces while I lip-synced along to phonograph records. The professional term for what I did was dumb act, a phrase I didn't want to think about too much. In those days, it felt a little too much like a bad review. You know, good, bad. Good was that I was young and full of beans and ready to take on the world. Bad was that I had no idea on earth how I was going to accomplish this feat. And bad was also that I was just eking out a living, pulling down $110 in a good week, and there weren't that many good weeks. On this princely sum, I had to pay my manager, Abner J. Greshler, plus the rent on the Newark apartment, plus feed two, about to be three, plus wardrobe, candy bars, milkshakes, and phonograph records for the act. Plus my hotel bill. While I was working in New York, I stayed in the city to be close to my jobs, when I had them, and to stick to where the action was. I'd been rooming at the Belmont Plaza on Lexington and 49th, where I'd also been performing in the Glass Hat, a nightclub in the hotel. I got $135 a week and a room. Suddenly, at Broadway and 54th, Sonny spotted someone across the street, a tall, dark, and incredibly handsome man in a camel's hair coat. His name, Sonny said, was Dean Martin. Just looking at him intimidated me. How does anybody get that handsome? I smiled at the sight of him in that camel's hair coat. Harry Horseshit, I thought. That was what we used to call a guy who thought he was smooth with the ladies. Anybody who wore a camel's hair overcoat with a camel's hair belt and fake diamond cufflinks was automatically Harry Horseshit. But this guy I knew was the real deal. He was standing with a shorter, older fellow, and when he saw Sonny, he waved us over. We crossed the street. I was amazed all over again when I saw how good-looking he was. Long, rugged face, great profile, thick, dark brows and eyelashes, and a suntan in March. How'd he manage that? I could see he had kind of a twinkle as he talked to the older guy. Charisma is a word I would learn later. All I knew then was that I couldn't take my eyes off Sonny's pal.